Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
God, it's just, there's so many things, and we have so many things we want to be able to share today, and we're just trying to figure out, you know, what can we share in the limited time we have to be able to share it. But understand this, that the season that you're now living in, and probably the reason why you're so groggy and you're so sleepy, spiritually speaking, and so seduced by this world, is because what's about to happen is the enemy's hoping that he takes you down. But guess what? You're listening to VFN Radio, and you're watching VFN TV, and others that are out there letting you know, hey, there's watchmen on the wall letting you know what's about to come. There's two things coming. One is called the best of times, and one is called the worst of times. It's going to be the best of times for those who are loyal to God, who follow Jesus, which means somebody who actually reads his word, spends time with him, abides with him, and obeys him, you know? And it's going to be the worst of times for those who love the world and who are loyal to the world. He said friendship with the world is an enemy of God. So listen, what's so cool is it hasn't begun at the level it's going to happen, so you got time to choose who your friend's going to be. You're going to be a friend of God or a friend of the world. Isn't that cool? Let me just think. Isn't that terrible? It's like it's getting word after great destruction. You know, you should have chose to be a friend of God. It's like, where were you, prophet man? You know, where were you before the storm? Well, I didn't have guts enough to tell you what I already knew in my spirit. I can imagine what's going to happen, because this is what he says in Ezekiel, that if you did know prophet man, you know, if you did hear insight about what God was going to do and you didn't tell anybody, he said that their blood's on your hands. And one of the reasons why we are here on VFN Radio and VFN TV is because we want to make sure we give every opportunity to tell everybody that we possibly can. I mean, if it's 1, 10, 20, 1,000, 10,000, whatever, you know, that so that, you know, one, so that they, our listeners have a chance to respond to what God is saying. But also, ultimately, so we're not held accountable at the throne of God, the judgment seat of God, that we did not tell what we know so plainly to be. You know, it's like, is there like a word, God, that you can give us that doesn't have to do with the destruction of the economy, the fall of mankind, the splitting of America into Israel under attack, nuclear waste laying in Kedron Valley? Is there anything coming, just anything? And you know what? This year, when we spend our time in prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord like we we began to do each year, as we just begin to just ask God to touch us for a prayer and fast and lifestyle, the Lord told us what's about to come, right? An outpouring of the power of God.
Right.
You know, the thing is this, you got to respond. Listen, there's different parts and pieces that come together, and ne'er one of them are whole outside the whole thing of what God's doing. We all know in part, prophesy in part, each of us have a part to play. And I sure would hate to be, you know, the person who didn't show up that prevented a move of God, because you were supposed to use the gift that God gave you to be able to just fit that little small piece. It's not about you, you know, and it's not about me, and it's not anybody, it's about Jesus. And it's like, where do I fit in what God wants to do? Where do I fit? And just fit. And you may fit this way for a season, but you got to be willing to adjust and fit this other way for a season. I remember years ago, this commercial about business, and it may have been a Super Bowl commercial, I don't know, but it was one of those commercials they produce. But these people are sitting in ties and coats and stuff in the office, but business is so changing. It's so morphs continually. And if you're really going to be a businessman or businesswoman, a leader, you got to be willing to adjust to your marketplace and what's going on. And so they started off just like a boring office, and they went from that to the next thing, and they all just, the desk slid out of the way. Next thing they did this, and they basically ended up on a basketball court throwing a basketball back and forth. And it has changed from this and this and this. And the thing it was is they were still in business. And those that don't understand that God's in control and they're not willing to change and they're stuck in their ways, then it's not that God wasn't using them for that season. It's just you weren't willing to morph. You didn't. It was you supposed to morph to Jesus. Jesus is not going to morph to you, which means, you know, for those Power Ranger people out there, Transformer cars or whatever it is that we just follow Jesus and imitate Jesus. And if he says left, we go left. And if he says right, we go left, right. If he says, this is the promise, we tell everybody this is the promise. But he says, now take the promise to the top of Mount Moriah and kill it. Mm-hmm. We go, I'm taking the promise to Mount, because we're not care. It's at those points that God sees you fear him and you don't fear man. And this, we want, you want to be a part of this. I believe it's going to take every single believer, everyone, but at least the ones who are willing to just say, here I am, God, use me, send me. We have been working for years to prepare for this outpouring of what's about to take place. We've been paddling on a surfboard, if you could put it in a picture sense, seeing from a distance a wave that you could only see, even see in your spirit, that's coming in such a dramatic way that you got to be going in the right direction, in the right way, at the right speed. So when it comes, you can maximize your life for God. So you can stand before him and say, Lord, you know, I was poured out like a drink offering. Everything that you gave me, I poured out. I did everything I could do. And he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
That's right.
Or he's, you know, we're going to say, oh my goodness. I don't know if anybody, got a chance to get to see the reunion at, Church of His Presence, where Brother John Kilpatrick pastors, but the reunion for the Brownsville Revival came together, and Steve Hill preached a message there. And in that message, I was like, you know, if you were a part of what God was doing at that time in that season, you just love to hear His heart. Mm. But this man has already come through trials of death.
Mm-hmm.
He's come through the storms of life. Yeah, we can relate a couple of those. And and he comes out, you know, on fire, you know, for a million souls for God. But he said, you know, I asked God for a million enemies this year.
Wow.
I asked God for a million enemies because, you know, that there's people that are moving in the name of God, doing church, leading in a title sense, God's people, but not preaching what Jesus says, not preaching the word of God. And they tell you, they say, like, everything's going great, everything's going good. And he says, as a matter of fact, you gotta hear this, because this is so, so true. And it's encouraging for those of you who have been following Jesus and telling the truth, even when it doesn't land. Listen up.
I asked the pastor the other day, I said, how's it going? He said, fine. I said, what? He said, fine. I said, you mean everything's going great? He said, yeah. I said, what are you preaching? I'm saying that to you, sir, ma'am. What's coming out of your mouth? Jesus said if they hated him, they would hate you. And don't talk to me about crowds. I've seen crowds. I've been in crowds. I preached in stadiums and arenas. It means nothing. Jesus had the crowds and he said, hey, drink my blood. Eat my flesh. And they said, this is too difficult for us. They basically did this. Stay out of our lives. We enjoy where we're at and what we're doing.
That is so refreshing, you know, because that's so true. But it's like, and we are too, when you think about, really, everybody likes you. Everybody likes you. You know, he goes on to say, he says, listen, and he's dealing with, you know, sin. He's going, I don't need no friends. know? And that's what everybody thinks. Like, I got to have some friends. Everybody's going to leave my face. So it's like people won't even share the gospel on their Facebook because they're scared their numbers will go down. Right. By the way, they will go down when you share the truth. They will go down. But hey, maybe you'll have 12 left. Jesus was willing to have his friends go down to 12. And one of those were a doubter. One of them was a challenger, and one of them was a betrayer. I mean, that's enough friends. I mean, that's going to keep you busy for most of your life, isn't it?
Right.
But if you pour your life into them, they're going to go out, and they're going to be able to. It's like you can't get caught. It's amazing how the mindsets of everything is changing, and when somebody sees a crowd, when they see it's just people can be easily manipulated by a crowd. It's amazing. oh, what's your numbers? What's your running? How many friends you got on your Facebook? How many likes you got? It's like, really? Are you serious? Is that the legitimacy? Is that right. What's going on? It's like, oh wow. My goodness. Oh my goodness, you know? And if you, and it's just amazing. And so when it begins, this is when it comes back and it begins a challenge. This is so important. You know, we've been talking about this week is that, and we're trying to talk about it all the time, is go back to the Gospels. Go back to what Jesus said and just preach what Jesus said. And he's continuing to talk to the ministers and the pastors, you know, in America. Listen up. Listen to Steve Hill right here as he's talking in Church of His Presence at a reunion that took place. Got to hear this.
Read my lips. All the words in red. Not just the fun stuff. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. It's red. Preach that.
That is so, why would that be wrong? Why would that be wrong? And it's like, when you start sharing what Jesus said, what happens is we start getting treated like Jesus was treated.
That's right.
But he said, no student is above their teachers. What he's saying is, honey, darling, if you actually repeat what I said, you're going to experience what I experienced. That's what
he's saying. I love what Leonard Ravenhill says. He says, Jesus was born out in a manger. He was crucified outside of the city. You know, he had no friends, and yet so many believers today want to be liked. It's like, wait a minute.
They're willing to even settle people, everybody. Today's culture is willing to settle just for the impression in others' people's eyes that people like them. Wow. That I'm liked.
Right.
Because, you know, most, if they really hung out.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, I know two of them, and they don't like you. Those things. But, you know, they were just too. Anyway, so understand that's what Jesus is saying. And this is my concern is maybe too many people's liking you. Maybe too many people's liking us. God, forgive us for having a desire to be the world's friend or man's friend versus your friend. And God will take you to a time of testing where it's just you and him. And it is about just you and him. He will let things go for a season, but you're going to have to choose. It's in your heart. It's about your heart that he's number one in your life. He demands complete 100% loyalty to his sovereignty. But it's not a bad deal. It's a good deal.
That's right.
But you can't just squeeze him in. And so he'll even have you walk to the top of a high place where everybody can see you take what they think is important and destroy it before the eyes of God, like on Mount Moriah with the promise of Isaac, you know, which, okay, fine. He says, I see you actually do love me. You do fear me more than you fear a man. Now, all those prophecies I spoke over you that you thought were a given, now they're going to come to pass because I first had to find out if you feared me. You know, so many people are sitting on a word wanting it to come to pass, but you still have not dealt with the fear of man in your life. And you have to fear the Lord. You have to fear God more than man. And let me tell you something. Ultimately, you have to be willing to experience what Jesus experienced. You have to be willing to understand that men may hurt you with their words, their deeds, or their actions when they're not happy with you. And that is, and look what happened to those. I wouldn't want this for you, and I definitely wouldn't want it for me. But just because something bad happens to you because you said something good for God does not mean that you're wrong. You know, if you got sick, or if they put you in prison, if they accuse you of things, if they took your business from you, if you lost your marriage, if you lost your family, if you lost a church that you founded and you were called, there's people that had an entire network of churches, what you would refer to probably as a denomination that they founded in this network, and they went overseas to minister. When they came back, the entire thing was taken from them.
Wow.
And these things just happen, but understand what men mean for evil, God will work it around for your good. That's what Joseph said. And so you can relax in the context of that. If you're wanting to be treated well by men and you're not even considering the wellness of how God is treating you, this is going to be, you're probably never going to enter in to the fullness of what God has in store for you. The sad thing is that life is so fleeting. You don't know. I mean, the same things that are taking place today, and we'll talk about it in a few moments after this break, but understand that you know, some perilous times are coming, but some blessings are coming. I'm going to tell it to you. I'm going to play for you a vision that Steve Hill was given. Steve Hill's ministry was given, and it so lines up with what we've been hearing. But I'm also going to let you hear a prophetic word for 2013 that Brother John Kilpatrick gave that so explains the good times, where the best of times and the worst of times. And it's like, how could both of these things be true? Well, one is walking in friendship, friends with God, and one is walking in friendship with the world. He says, you can't be both. You'll hate one and despise the other. You got to choose what you're going to serve. And he deals to the heart of that. You know, what you doing with your money? What you doing with your things? Because he says that, according to George Barna, that only 3% of regular church attenders are even honoring God by giving him his tithes and his offerings. And so that boils down to, no matter what men say, what God's word says, that you are actually serving money and you're not serving God. God doesn't want your money. Watch what happens. Watch what happens to your life. He'll take everything from you and then begin to say, you know what? I had difficulty honoring you with $1 million, but now I got 10 bucks. God, I'm so thankful that I can honor you. And he's like, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. He's into ratios. He's not into the other. And it's at 3%. And then only 18%, I believe, according to George Bonner, are even reading his expectations, God's expectations of us, his word, the Bible. And it's like, that's friendship with the world. And so when you hear about the judgments and the things that are coming to the earth and coming to America, understand now you can repent and you can be on the good side of things. You can be on what you're going to hear come out in the encouraging aspect, because God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And if you're presently a friend with the world, this is a message to you. I love you. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. I'm not against you, but you got to make a choice. And some times are coming, and we'll talk about the break. Times are coming that's going to motivate you to be highly motivated to choose God and not the world. We're talking about all the prophetic happenings and warnings, and it's like things are building. When a lady begins to have a baby, what happens after a certain amount of months, contractions begin to happen and things begin to tighten up, and she gets uncomfortable, and all of a sudden she just wants this baby to be born, and the baby wants to be born, and how God's designed it is to be born, and everything says it's coming, the baby's coming, and how they tell how close it is how close the contractions are. So at first you'll have a contraction which means the whole womb is just tightening up, or her whole body is just like tight, and then it'll just release. It'll totally release, and it could be another 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, and sometimes it could be a day, and another one happens. But as it gets closer, all of a sudden, it's like they become rhythmic, and all of a sudden, she'll have one like every hour, like on the nose, like boom, another one, and she just begins to prepare for them because, hey, you know, it's coming. You know, you got to prepare for this. You start getting the baby's room ready. You start getting all your package ready that you're going to carry to the doctors. You start making all your calls that you need to be able to set up, and they get closer. They're like 40 minutes apart. Then they're 30 minutes apart. And if it's the first time mother, she starts going, do I come in now? Do I come in now? And the doctor says, honey, you need to wait there at least about 10 minutes apart or something of that nature, because, you know, this is a process, but God's designed things to happen like that. It all depends on your daughter. That's pretty much it. And then, you know, at a certain point, whatever you come in and you sit down, and then they strap a monitor around her belly and her womb, and it begins to measure the contractions. And so you can actually start seeing a graph, and it starts accelerating as her muscles start to tighten up. And you can see it early on before it peaks out. So you can look at her and say, hang on, baby, here it comes. Breathe. Right? You start to look at that breathing thing going on in Lamaze, and you're preparing her because she's fixing to experience huge contraction that's going to take to birth this thing. And you begin to look at the sign, the graph that they have now that lets you know that the contraction is on its way, which we would call that you have a prophetic warning that she's going to be experiencing some serious pain, and she needs to be able to hold on to get through it. But the end of this thing, something's going to happen. You know, a baby's going to be born in her case. And they just get closer and closer and closer until they finally said, let's do it. Everything's ready. Let's go. And next thing you know, what people just talked about, what you dreamed about, what you probably celebrated, or in regards to what's about to happen on the face of the earth, it could be a very difficult season being birthed into the world. But it's two, I believe it's two babies being born. It's one boy, a baby with joy, and it's one baby with turmoil. One's named Joy and one's named Turmoil, because it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. It's going to be the worst of times for everyone who's hanging on to the things in the world and thinking, I got to have this and I got to have that and I can't do this. It's like, dude, it's going to be too bad you didn't listen earlier, because we could have let you just start letting go of those things. But
right. Just
let go of them, because anything you're hanging on to that's not God is going to be like an anchor, and it's going to take you to the bottom of the water. And if you hadn't learned how to walk underwater yet, you're going to drown. But if you let go of stuff, you can stay on top of this thing. But you keep your eyes focused on Jesus and abiding with him. And so all these different things we're talking about, it's like these contractions are happening. So many of them, we can't even tell you all of them. The things about the economy crashing, we're going to be talking about probably this hour about Pope Benedict suddenly resigning. It happened in 600 years. Pope Benedict of the Roman Church, the Pope of the Roman Church, Roman Catholic Church. What's happening with that? We're going to try to explore what's God's perspective of these sudden adjustments, because the Bible lets us know Mystery Babylon, the city with seven hills will be destroyed, which is Rome, as the Bible says. But there was a prophecy that was given that kind of lines up with that, and we're going to talk to you about it. And so I'm talking to you about this, that you want to be on the right side of history. And all these things are happening, but understand this, I believe there's going to be a great loss of life, The tragedy that happened in the school in Connecticut, nobody knew that was the last time they were going to see their children. They didn't know that. That's tragic. It was just horrific. But I remember a teacher in the closet with a kid, she's being interviewed. She says, I didn't know if I was the last face they'd see, and I didn't know if this is the last thing they heard. So I began to talk to them about Jesus and how God loved them. Mm. And understand that she didn't know whether they were going to live or they weren't going to live. Wow. I'm talking to you right now. I don't know if you're in a region or we're in a region that's going to be struck in a certain way, that there'll be a great loss of life. But I saw the loss of life. And many are beginning to see the great loss of life that's going to come in these things. Because yesterday I was talking about, you know, the I think it was the 54th volunteer, Massachusetts 54th volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Army, almost, except for its two leaders, were African-American, and what they did during the Civil War and how awesome that was. And I was pondering that and praying over that yesterday, because I was just so humbled by watching this movie, TV version of this movie, Glory, to be able to see how they face this danger. And the Lord just spoke to my spirit, because I'm saying, you know, saying like, where's these people? Where's this generation? I'm just ashamed to even look at this, because I'm not that. I need God, make me something, like, give me that. And then he told me yesterday, when I was pondering and praying over it, was they just came out of great turmoil for almost 100 years. The African American was oppressed and was degraded. And was enslaved and was treated not like a man, not like a woman, and they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that brokenness and that pain and that horrificness produced the 54th, Massachusetts 54th Volunteer Brigade Army.
Wow.
Mm. And it's like, oh, no. I've got it. You know, it'll take, but when we go through these seasons, we're excited about it, because that we know in the end that there will be men like those men in the 54th Brigade, you know, the Massachusetts Volunteer. They're like, dude, who cares? You know, this is kingdom. This is God, you know? And so if understand, we need to prepare for this, because I believe, and this is one thing that Mike Bickle will talk about quite often, that we're going to be preparing this generation that's going to be ushering in the presence of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. This next wave of God that's moving across the earth is going to be this generation, me and whoever it is and whatever age is coming in, that they're going to be setting up to be the ones in the spirit of Malachi, you know, to prophesy, you know, of bringing in and preparing the way of the Lord. And so these contractions are happening and these storms are happening. So it's, even though it's the best of times, we're going to have to be willing to do what it takes to be able to march with those who have to march with times of struggle and turmoil. And I'm going to tell you about some really awesome things, but I want you to hear this vision that Steve Hill was given at the end of 2012. And we just, you know, it just so lines up with what God is saying and what we have to do. How do we respond to this attack, this spiritual attack? I'm talking spiritual war. How do we respond? And of course, we'll talk more about that in a minute. Listen up first.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front lines. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.
Oh my goodness, that is so accurate down to my core of my being. And understand there's hope. Listen, don't be quick to write anything off. Understand that we have to respond. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how to respond, and we're going to talk about how it's going to be the best of times for those. Listen, God is God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Surrender, make your loyalty to Jesus today. Today. And if you haven't done that today, make a decision to follow Jesus today. And understand that your trail, your path won't be the path that's about to happen on the face of the earth.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's easy to get discouraged in the midst of disappointing circumstances. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. David Ring offers this perspective.
I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? Why are you crying the blues? Why are you down in the dump? Why are you down in the mountain? Why do you want to quit? Look at me, what's your problem? Don't whine, but shine.
A great reminder there about coping well with life's problems. Hear more from David Ring today on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFN radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN radio 24/7 live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day that day. On WHBR, find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, what God's revealing to us is that, you know, I can see him because he sat up under the bridge with her, you know, as she's homeless. And her story is that she was on a particular drug addiction and she had to leave Washington, D.C., which I think there's a lot of people on drugs in Washington, D.C. And then and then comes to get away, you know, and here, you know, when he goes to spy out the land, you know, in the early processes of going to Pittsburgh and hearing God. And it's, you know, it's about to manifest all of the faith and all of the deeds. And yeah. And with that to go back now with the God's perspective of the poor and realize that she is Lazarus. And that sitting under that bridge with the right perspective, you know, is you got to get that because everybody in Pittsburgh are the same to God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And quite often it's not a hard thing to explain to poor people that, that that they're okay with God. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to explain to the rich people that they're not any more important or any better than the person who doesn't have anything at this point in time. As a matter of fact, what you do, and this is the really interesting thing about that, is the fact that if you look at Jesus is telling the story. Jesus is the one telling it. And he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard his father say it or do it. And so this is a very important thing. You know, and he confirms it also. He said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me or didn't do. But he said this about the rich man and Lazarus. A long story short, Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. But they didn't say he was in adultery. They didn't say he was, you know, doing something wrong. I mean, it just said that his viewpoint of mankind was wrong and he did not share his possessions.
Right.
Things that God had given him, did not share it with Lazarus.
Right.
Because Lazarus was wanting to eat the food that just fell from his table, and he had dogs licking his sores, and you know, Mother Teresa really had this.
Yeah, you know, she gave her life to the poor and to the unborn, and when we can live a life like that, that's totally surrendered to say, you know what, every person on the face of the earth has value. Yeah, I remember one of her quotes is so awesome. One of her quotes is that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them. And we're going to be careful that we're not judging the poor. We're not looking at them and saying, how did you get there? And how did you arrive there? And what happened to you? And
we
if I
are
give you
them.
This dollar, are you
we
gonna
are
buy
them.
That dollar?
Right.
Are you
yeah.
gonna, and we're going to love them and take care of them because that's what God called us to do.
Yeah.
And you look at the church and you look at some of the recent statistics from George Barna. You know, did you know that the more income they've did this research, I think the believers, the more they made like between $50,000 to $70,000 and above, they actually tithe a less percentage than the person that tithe in the income range was you know, a little bit lower, you know, actually significantly lower. And the thing is that the conclusion of the research was that the wealthy Christians were trusting in their richness and were not trusting in God.
Right.
And the person that had less was able to have total dependency upon God, even the less that they had to say, I'm just going to honor God with it. And we just got to get a right perspective on what God is saying.
You know, and thinking about that, John, like you're saying, it's having the right perspective of Jesus's perspective of the rich man and the poor man. And so often, especially in America, we can get blinded by what we see in the natural, whether it be a building or clothes or something. And I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was just so hungry for the things of God, and I just wanted to just share His love with everybody, and do what I can. And in that, I had such a concern for all of a sudden, it was like homeless people became known to me. It was like all of a sudden, it's like my eyes were just open to that. There are homeless people in my own city, and I began to think about it. And I'm like, I have never noticed homeless people. I never have. I was 28 years old. And all of a sudden, I was just like, I want to do something. I have to do something. And I found out that there was a, it was during the Christmas season, and I wanted to, there was a kind of like a group that was like handing out food to the homeless people. You can go downtown, and they had everything set up, and people would call ahead of time and say, I need food, and you would bring food to them. And on this route, there was a specific residence and address that we had difficulty finding, and he had asked for like 8 or 9, you know, servings of food, I guess, for a large family. Mm-hmm. And we finally find this address, and it was back behind, you know, the driveway was long, you know, the grass was high. It was in a quote unquote unkept house. It wasn't clean as far as somebody might originally think about. We get to the house, and there's trash all over the front door, all over the patio. The door's cracked open. So I knock on the door, and I'm like, hello, is anybody home?
Mm-hmm.
And an elderly man comes to the door. He's in crutches. It doesn't smell clean. He's very unkept, missing most of his teeth. Looks like he hasn't bathed.
Mm.
And I said, hey, I said, how you doing, man? And he looks at me, and he has got the biggest glimmer shine in his eyes, the biggest smile.
Wow.
And he looks at me with just the most biggest just display of gratitude, and he just says, I'm blessed, and I'm just thankful to be here.
Think about it. The poor, they're so rich in faith.
Right. And and we talked briefly, and I handed, and we talked, and I shared, I gave him the food that we had for him, and he was just so grateful to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it was just like my paradigm was just shifting. Mm-hmm. In a moment. And as I left, got back in my car, and God speaks to me. And he said, "That's a rich man."
Wow. Exactly.
And I just started crying. I just started weeping. And it's just like, we miss it. We mm-hmm. have it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, God said, "That is a rich man."
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. just like, riches is not, you know, your paycheck. Mm-hmm. Riches is not, you know, your 4,500 square foot house, or, you know, the size of your car, or the amount of acreage that is put on your asset list on your financial asset. It's like, no, richness is the kingdom of God. Richness is in the things of Christ and his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you rich in your relationship with Jesus? Because I'll tell you what, when that man said that to me, I was just beginning a journey of just like, God, reveal to me your riches.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, God is good.
Awesome. It's powerful.
Well, think about, you know, when you look at what happened to Israel, you know, under Hitler and how they came and oppressed the Jews, and they took away their businesses, took away their homes, mm-hmm. took them into the ghettos, packed them into houses, you know, took them into trains. They took him to the concentration camps.
Yeah,
right. And in that, the mm-hmm. concentration camps, they even killed them and shot them with firing squads. Shot them with firing squads, and took them into showers. They looked like a shower. Then they sprayed chemicals on them to kill them. Then they burned them, and then they degrade. They degraded them so much they wouldn't even look at them like they had value. You know, a guard would come out and I don't know, what's the movie, Schindler's List. I mean, you've got to see that to get a perspective. But yeah, you know, they would come out and just, this one particular guard would come out and stand on his balcony and just start shooting at them like they were ducks. And they wouldn't even give them. If you watch Schindler's List, you know, and you need to watch it with your parents' permission, but you need to watch it to understand that that's what Satan thinks of you, church. You know, that's what Satan thinks of you. And you think you got a partnership with him. You don't. Mm-hmm. And he hates you. And he wants you to feel like you're nothing and you don't exist and you're devalued and all these things that so many people are blaming everybody else for. It's actually Satan telling you that directly, and he's accrediting it to people around you, making you think they're the ones doing it, so you can be divided from the very people that's going to give you hope.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, you know, when you're, I'm watching clips, you know, we have a teaching series about, you know, seeking God's perspective of Israel. And in that, we're playing clips about when the American soldiers freed them from the concentration camps. They were so neglected. They were so, you know, it was just terrible what took place, that they had them all sit down in groups, and they started giving them the soldiers gave them like candy bars and different things like that. And like this one lady, she takes this candy bar. This is an actual thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Schindler's List. This is footage from the soldiers coming and free them. And she takes this candy bar like she will never have a candy bar again in her life. Mm. And she takes it and she goes and she hides it.
Mm.
I mean, to the lowest common denominator. Satan wants to take you down to the lowest common denominator of your life. And her hope was that she thought she would never. I mean, she was gracious that she got that. But this is the big thing. And that's huge. I mean, but listen to what I'm about to say in comparison to what we're talking about. And then one soldier just looks over in the eyes of one of those Jews that were sitting there, you know, waiting to be fully freed or whatever, and just gives her a kind look. That's it. And she just begins to weep.
Mm.
The Jewish lady begins to weep because it's like she was non-existent, like she did not even exist.
Yeah.
And even a kind look. A kind look. She was grateful to God because somebody realized I exist. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a kind look. You know, there, I'm telling you, you know, it, there's, I mean, you know, I challenge you to walk around, look in the mirror quite often, but you could, it's just, people are so aware of their own looks. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they give themselves a real good look. But when they look at you, it's like mm-hmm. the world's falling apart. And it's like, well, I'm just thinking. It's like when you look at yourself, you're not just thinking.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we need some kind looks. We
tell
need somebody,
your face to smile, please. Yeah, tell please tell that, your face,
you know, let's put some duct tape on that puppy and pull it up with a smile going on. But when you put a mirror in front of their face, it's just like bing.
Pearly
white. It's
like,
you have been fooled. You only smiled at yourself. You know, and that we got to start giving people gracious looks.
Yeah.
You know, we have to start again, you know, saying, you know, that we are thankful, just like this man that Steve's talking about, that we, God can put us in a place in our life. If we're not grateful now with what we have, he can take us in a place where we have nothing and we'll be the most grateful person mm-hmm. in the world. But why do we have to go through all, why don't we just say thank you now? Why don't we share our possessions now? Yeah. Why don't we just quit, you know, stop playing church and start to be the church, which is the body of Christ, and be his hands extended, and understand that, you know, share, if only 97%, according to George Barna, are even, you know, giving to God, you know, they're not giving to the poor. I mean, come on, we got to begin just give. Mm-hmm. Just be freely, you know, we receive, we need to freely be able to give that and understand that. And just, you know, it's the love we have for each other and our compassion that says that we're Jesus's. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that if we're not loving God, I mean, obviously we're not Jesus's, you know? And we're not a great witness and love is obedience to the Lord. And if we're not loving each other, we're not obeying the commandment, right?
Right.
You know, and it's so simple. It's so simplistic, but it requires you to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same, right?
Yeah.
That's just how simple it is. But the problem is we're not in that equation. But he said, listen, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, you can have no part of him. But it's okay, because if you love God and love others, God will love you.
That's right.
And if the creator of the universe, who is preparing the wedding banquet for you, if he loves you, I mean, come on.
That's some good
love. Think about that. And not only that, he'll love you through the very people that you are loving for him because he dwells inside of them.
That's right.
It's just a beautiful thing. Everybody, so many people are waiting, well, you love first. It's like, well, that ain't going to happen. God's not going to let that happen for you because it's the wrong motives. It's the wrong motives that he's beating himself with a mic. He's just saying, go boom, 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 boom.
Hey,
he's
like, oh, he's like, there, man. No, you're Marine.
I'm telling you, well, he's out, running in place, hitting himself in the head with a mic, kicking him with his foot. He's like, oh my goodness.
Hold him down over there. He's excited.
He likes to spin his chair when he talks. That's what it is.
Like, does he? Oh, what he's doing is he dancing over his chair, there. Right.
We don't have that energy. We just kind of like, you know, just stationary. But watch my lips. Watch my lips.
Yeah, I'm strapped in the chair. Right. Beat me up.
Yeah, right, right. I see your abs, man. That thing's really working right now.
Hey, man.
That barbed wire fence. But understanding that when the soldier just looked at her after all those years of being mistreated and being everything taken from her. You know, we're gonna be grateful. Let me tell you something.
It's coming.
Gratitude's coming.
It's coming.
I mean, gratitude is coming. Mm-hmm. The question is, are we gonna choose to be grateful now? Are we gonna wait till somebody gives us a chocolate bar and a kind look? Mm-hmm. But gratitude's gonna come.
I'm telling you. That's why one of the Ten Commandments is "Thou shalt not covet." You know, it's like, why are we sweating what our neighbor has? This is what America's doing. If they got a new car, so I need to get a new car. And we're measuring our lives by what the commercials tell us, by what our neighbors drive and by what our coworkers are doing, and what we're not looking at the world, and we're not recognizing that we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth.
Well, I don't think this generation today even understands the word covet. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, covet, it's like, you know, wanting in your heart is that deep desire to have.
Think of a different semantic than that, because that's such a, they file that away.
Kind of like jealousy. It's like what you were saying before, and you know, you see what someone else has, and you are no longer thankful for what you're given.
Yeah, you want it. It's exactly. That great desire to have something that you don't have. It's like a deep envy,
right?
Yeah. You know, and you're not satisfied, and it's like a comparison. Or you got to have it. It's like that's all America. I mean, think about it.
It's a lot of America, right?
I mean, you look look at children. I'm sorry. But you look at children and they have a toy and immediately they see someone else's toy and they just drop it. They cry and they say, I want your toy.
That sounds like a lot of big children.
I'm about to say. Yeah. Does that happen to children too? I'm thinking, does that happen to children too?
Yeah, does that happen to children? And it's like, you're right. If we don't learn gratefulness on this side, you know, that's what godliness with contentment is great gain. When we start to appreciate that everything that we have comes from the hand of God. We've been living a life that's taken so much pride for the things that we have. You know, one of the greatest things to do is just sit in your house and just look at the things that you've been blessed with and realize, wait a minute, it wasn't my strength that it was. This was God who provided this. When we make that shift in our mind, we realize, man, we are blessed and God has equipped us with everything that we need. Mm-hmm.
But John, you can only do that when you start giving something away. So don't, you know, think if you put all your stuff from A to Z, and A is what's most precious to you and Z is the least precious to you, then what the church has been doing to this point is giving away the Z's.
That's right.
The Z's.
Yeah, giving up the messed up shoes to missions and the, you know what I'm saying, all this other stuff.
Yeah, think about it, disease. Anyway, so, but then, you know, go and then what you said was most valuable to you and practice now by giving it away. Give away your A.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it yet, give away your B.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep giving it away and you'll be happy with your Z. I mean, just keep until you understand the people that you're giving to is just as important to you and the guy is for an audience of one and you're trying to get your heart in alignment, start giving stuff away. Just, I don't care if you don't have, listen, America thinks it's all about money. God says it's about increase. So if God's giving you, you know, 5 or 10 oranges, give one orange away. Mm-hmm. If you, and then that's your tithe. So then give away 5 other oranges as an offering. You know,
that's right.
You know, if he gives you a car, give somebody a ride to work and know that every day you're giving them a ride to work, that you're saying thank you to God because he gave you that car. It's an increase. That's you know, right. I mean, there's so many different ways to be able to thank God, you know. And before we go to a break here just for a moment, I want to be able to welcome Mike and Denver and Teresa and Keith and oh, so many new listeners, Cindy. I mean, as we're listening right now, we have these great listeners. You know, Hector. Mm-hmm. We're just so glad to have you guys joining us and connecting to us, and we're excited about walking this out together. We're excited about bringing this where there's hope. Mm-hmm. There's hope for America. There's hope for the world. There's hope for the church. If, in fact, we hear the voice of the Lord, which is one of a loving Father saying, come back to me. We'll be right back.
We're talking about gratefulness. And
yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
It's so good.
Well,
you
if you think about it, we'll enter in his courts for gratitude. His courts for gratitude, understanding that when somebody comes to you and all they do is whine, you know, you just don't want to hear it. I mean, if you did all that stuff for them, and they're not, I mean, it's just like
complaining breaks me out into an itch.
I mean didn't you just drive here in a car? You know, didn't you have gas in your tank and didn't you just eat this morning? And I mean, start with something that you're grateful for when you're talking to God. You know, are you an American? I mean, come on. I mean, we're living in the top 3% of the world if you're American. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's something to be thankful for. And when we compare like what we're talking about with Lazarus, when we're talking about, you know, the man that Steve saw when he was handing out the food. You know, just being grateful. It's amazing how many people are who have a whole bunch of things and stuff and all that they're not grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable. It's like, I mean, you got all this stuff and things and cars and everything you can imagine and you're miserable. And it's like, you know, start over again.
Yeah.
You know, start over again. And with that, when you start over again, get rid of everything. Just give it all away. Mm-hmm. And with that, you can begin to appreciate the things that God gives. He says about this, I believe it is in Amos chapter 2, that he says specifically that he will take everything away from you and then begin to give them back one by one until you're grateful. You know, and it's like, you know, sometimes we have to do that ourselves. Just get rid of everything and begin again. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.